Welcome to another episode of Badass Banking. Today I'm with Nathan Baumeister. Nathan, I said it right, didn't I?
Oh yeah, you got it.
All right. I suck at pronunciation. So he's the CEO of ZSuite Technologies, a pretty much a Boston-based company that's focused on helping banks and credit unions fight the challenge of fintech and the need for technology and all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to provide a link to his company as well as what he does. He recently wrote an article that I thought was interesting. It was in the Global Fintech series at globalfintechseries.com. I'll post a link to that. And he talks a little about the PPP loan, work from home, this digitization inertia that's occurring right now because of COVID-19. And I want to talk about that first, and hopefully we'll end up on a conversation about banking as a service, and how there are certain threats associated with a SaaS model, more challenges necessarily than threats that bankers need to keep in mind as they look at a banking as a service solution. So Nathan, let's get right into the PPP loan thing. What are your observations that have come out of community banking as a result of this?
Yeah, well, you know, first off, I think that anyone that's talking about PPP loans would be remiss if we don't first stop and just say what a huge and tremendous effort that was put forth between community financial institutions and larger financial institutions all throughout the United States, as well as several fintech companies that, you know, I talked to a lot of them, and there were some, they were running 24-hour shifts just writing PPP loans, which is just absolutely nuts. So, you know, super appreciative of all the work that so many people have put into that. So you can't talk about PPP loans without talking about that.
Yep.
So, you know, just starting.
I've even heard some people refer to, and I think it's probably an exaggeration, I've heard some people refer to bankers as first responders. Now, first responders from an economic point of view, obviously not from a medical point of view, but, you know, the community banks that I know have really risen to the occasion and done the best that they can, providing with the resources and assets they're provided in order to assure that the economic engine continues to be greased.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as kind of the other than that, what's kind of been my main observation, you know, like yourself, you know, I've been working with banks and credit unions for quite a while now. And there's always been this sense about how slow they move. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with regulations and, you know, they have to do their due diligence and, you know, it takes a long time to figure out what to do. And even the smallest banks have quite a few employees, right? I mean, they're fairly large organizations. And when I look at what happened because of COVID-19, there are two projects that in any other year probably would have been at least 6-month projects, but more likely multi-year projects. You know, the first one came, branches are closed, but you still have to keep running. And so most financial institutions never had anyone ever work remote. You know, they couldn't get approval to get a laptop. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't even have like USB drives that weren't blocked, right? Yep. And within a 2-week period, some of them went to about 3 weeks. So in about a 2 to 3 week period, completely changed, yep. Right? All of the bureaucratic red tape, all of the, well, I'm not sure about this, not sure about that, they found a way. And that, to me, that just completely redefined how quickly they could move. And then, okay, so that's awesome, right? That in of itself. And then right on the heels of it, one of the biggest government lending program that has ever been unveiled in the United States came out with PPP. And again, these financial institutions are supposed to be writing these new loans within weeks.
Yep.
And same type of deal, but even with more complexity than trying to work remote. And again, they found a way. And I personally think that this is a watershed moment for financial institutions in realizing how quickly they can move when they focus, when they ask the real questions, okay, what do we really need to do from a regulatory perspective? What do we really need to do before we push forward? And I think it's going to have tremendous effects, both for the financial institutions themselves, but also for the vendor ecosystem or the partner ecosystem that exists to support them, because their expectations are forever changed.
Yeah, the level of collaboration went through the roof. There's no doubt about it. I posted something on Twitter this morning about the vaccine. And, you know, the last time we had a vaccine come to market in an emergency situation, it took 4 years, and that was the mumps vaccination. We did this one in 8 months or 9 months, and the level of cooperation between the public and private sector were key.
Right? Absolutely.
So that's happening a bit with PPP loans, although, you know, there's still bureaucracy that's getting in the way of getting some of those dollars to the small businesses that need it. But the bankers have served as advocates in this initiative, and the vendors are partnering with them. And again, the Tesla software, Mark Cuban, Jill Castillo deal is a good example. And, you know, the Jack Henrys of the world have gone out there and done some really remarkable things, and countless other providers as well. So it's heartwarming to see. And it's interesting, you know, when you light a fire, people do respond or react pretty darn quickly. The industry as a whole has never had to be so motivated as it was over the last 7 to 9 months. I think that motivation is going to continue, not just because of COVID, but because expectations are changing. Do you think that consumer expectations regarding digital have escalated in the evolution?
Yeah, you know, we've all seen the trends of consumer adoption of digital channels grow over the last 20, 30 years, right? There's been a consistent trend of that happening. And, you know, prior to COVID, the user experiences that consumers specifically, but starting with businesses as well, because business apps have been getting better and better, have been redefining what people expect from technology. And in general, financial institutions have a hard time keeping up with that, right? And so did COVID, you know, change or disrupt anything? You know, I don't think it changed or disrupted anything, but it was absolutely an accelerant.
Yep.
You know, the fire was burning, gas was thrown on it. And so those expectations, the lack of patience for bad digital experiences and or non-existent digital experiences, I mean, it's just the trend that we were already seeing is just going so much faster, and you know, everyone's going to have to respond to that. And I think that it is absolutely here to stay. Every single core digital banking company and banker that I've talked to, every single one of them have seen huge growth in adoption. This is inclusive of our own product as well. Mm-hmm. You know, our products that are in market right now, banks are offering them to property managers and landlords. And everybody wants to collect rent digitally. Everybody wants to manage their security deposits online. They don't want to talk to someone. They don't want to hand a check. They don't want to have to go into a branch. And it's just across the board. So, you know, I think it's definitely not changed it, but accelerated it quite a bit.
Yeah, I think bankers and consumers and businesses are now seeing how much friction there really was and how easy it is to change some habits, both on the consumer side, business side, as well as the, you know, the banker or credit union side, to provide a better experience, an experience that reduces cost and is much more efficient as well. So yeah, there's a long-term benefit here. The other benefit that I'm excited about is that we're going to talk about millennials a hell of a lot less, right? Because it's not just millennials that are enjoying this adaptation. Boomers, aging boomers. I'm a young boomer, very young boomer, by the way.
I wasn't saying anything.
I know, but you were thinking it. But I will tell you right now, I only do digital. I hate the branch. I always have hated the branch. I've worked in banks that had branches in them in cities as well in the suburbs. I hated it. I don't like to stand in line. So I'm going to do anything I can to possibly avoid that. There's no reason for me to ever go to the branch. Now, the people that had been going to branches the last few years, for whatever reason, to visit their money, to cash a check, to deposit a check, they've learned that, wow, I can do this stuff on my mobile. The branch environment has forever changed. I have no doubt about that. And will they go away? No, they won't. Will there be fewer? Absolutely. There are going to be fewer banks and credit unions too. The rate of consolidation because of the financial crisis that is going to follow this is going to continue. You know,
yeah, no.
there's some real concerns in the future that are going to drive a need for more efficiency. Net interest income is going to be, we're going to be in a zero interest rate market through 2025 or 2024 is what I'm hearing from the FDIC. bankers are going to have to change their models in order to adapt. And that doesn't include what's happening with commercial real estate right now and some of the stuff that's happening on the retail side of the business. Loan defaults, bankruptcies, we're going to see these things increasing. We still have an economic challenge in our country.
Yeah, the economic challenge is definitely not done, though definitely a little bit of a rosier future with the news that you were talking about earlier with the vaccine. Yeah.
Good to have that vaccine out there. I'm by the way, before I forget, sorry to hear about your first snowstorm that's coming up there. I'm hearing 12 to 18 in the Boston Metro.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As a lifelong Texan, this is going to be my second winter up in New England. So we'll see.
Yeah, not good. Let's shift gears. Let's talk about banking as a service. That's something that's near and dear to me. I'm involved in that space and also the SaaS model. I've been in the SaaS model world since 2009 with Geezeo. You and I off camera were talking a little about the challenges there. And I use the word homogenization. The industry as a whole is commoditized. And if bankers start moving toward a banking as a service model, is there a risk that they lose connectivity from a relationship point of view with their customer? I know you touched upon that in your article, and if you wouldn't mind, let's talk about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's always been a concern in the banking industry about becoming a commodity, right? Just being plumbing, if you will, kind of in the economic ecosystem. And there is absolutely great business models and wonderful companies that build infrastructure. I mean, the one that comes to mind is AWS, right? I mean, cloud computing. If you're not developing software, you might have never heard of Amazon Web Services. Obviously, you've heard of Amazon, but not Amazon Web Services. Then you have Azure. I mean, you have these companies, but here's the problem. With infrastructure as a business model, you don't need many of them, and there's only going to be a few winners.
Yeah,
right. Because that's just how it works. It's all about economies of scale. It's all about that and building the connectors and tools. And it's much easier to build connectors and tools if it's already a robust ecosystem. So I absolutely think that there's a huge play for some select financial institutions that can grow a business with the banking as a service model. And it's not going away, right? It is an essential part of what's going on. Right. My concern is that there's over 10,000 financial institutions in the United States. And this is not the future for 10,000 financial institutions in the United States. There has to be relationship elements. There has to be a business that they have where they're in front, they're the star, they're building out the relationships. And figuring out how to use technology to enable that rather than letting technology replace it, I think is the key.
Yeah, interesting. So let me ask you this, I know Ron Shevlin talks about it a lot, this whole Google checking thing. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of banks and credit unions. Stanford was one of the first ones to sign up for this. Do they have a risk in doing that? I mean, does their brand get replaced or overwritten by the Google brand in essence, and they lose that personal brand nuance that is important to them?
Well, here's the interesting thing, because in all things, there's always going to be a lot of winners, right? There's going to be different plays. What we've seen the big tech companies do previously is that they did the full banking as a service model, right? They went out with me first branding, and they used banking charters or a banking charter, right? Because they only pick one.
Yep.
As kind of the back end. You think about, the biggest one that a lot of people talk about is the Apple Card, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, that you kind of know it's Goldman Sachs, but it's not about Goldman Sachs. It's about Apple, right? Like that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, who would think that Apple, I think of Apple as the liberal and Goldman Sachs as the extreme conservative getting married. Maybe that's what we need in government, but yeah, I mean, who would have thought, right?
Yeah. But we can continue to go down the list of these big tech companies. You have Uber, you have PayPal, you have all of these fintech companies that have essentially banking accounts, right? Yep. But you don't know who the bank is. Now, Google is the first big tech company, at least that I can think of off the top of my head, that's saying, I'm going to share the spotlight. And that is really, really interesting. And are they going to overshadow the bank or the credit union, like you said, Stanford or Coastal Commerce Community Bank, like, I don't know yet, but at least they are doing co-branding. And so why are they doing that? Well, I'm hoping they're doing it because they see value in the brand and the relationship of these credit unions and banks and stuff like that. And I hope that there can be a symbiotic relationship there. But there's companies that have been doing that for a while. You and I were talking previously about Autobooks, right?
Yep. One of my favorite.
Yeah. I used to work at Kasasa, right? It's the same type of thing. You have a Kasasa checking account, but it's the bank that's offering it. It's the bank that's offering Autobooks. So there are absolutely corollaries to this, but this is, you know, Google obviously is one of the biggest brand names in the entire world.
Yeah.
And is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be harmful? Time will tell. But I do think that I like the step in this direction that at least there's one big scale experiment looking at it.
Yep, agreed. Listen, I appreciate the time. And I'll take this out of the edits. I've got another call that I got to jump on. Anything else you want to add? Any other magic eight ball predictions you might have regarding the next several months?
Oh, I definitely don't have any magic eight ball predictions, but I will definitely say I'm super excited about the vaccine coming out. Very excited about what I'm seeing as I'm talking to banks and credit unions. It does look like the optimism is back in the economic growth and the economic engine. And I'm also very grateful for all of the learnings we got in 2008 for capital requirements.
Great point.
The financial institutions were much better prepared for what's been going on with this pandemic and with that economic crisis than they were previously. And so I think that we're gonna be able to come out of it in a much stronger economy and still have a very robust financial system.
Yeah, the 2008 shock test, right? That's what it was. All right, well, I appreciate all your time. I'm gonna post all your info in the comments below on Spotify and YouTube, and hopefully people will reach out to you. I wish you the best of luck. You're doing great work. Keep it up.
All right, thanks a lot, Brian. We'll be right back.